I want to welcome you to upcoming Dis, and of course the big thing we're talking about is the release of the final season of Ghost Whisper. But before we do that, if I can get in a little background here, you guys work as a husband and wife team.
We do. We've been working as a husband and wife team now going on, 16, 17 years, something like that.
That long, and so did you guys meet in the business and then team up, or have you?
Yes, we met in the business and teamed up. Prior to that, I had produced a lot of television movies and a number of feature films and television series. I produced a couple of television series, and Kim, her background when she was originally she used to be in sports. Then after that, frankly, she worked on Capitol Hill for a while, then eventually she became a producer of primarily entertainment type shows like MTV Awards or Super Bowl Saturday Night, Disney's Christmas on Ice, those sorts of things, and sports and live entertainment. And then we met in, I hesitate to say, 20 years ago, and then shortly after that, we teamed up to produce a television movie, and this is going back in, I'd say, 93, 94, and after that we started producing together full time, and we've been doing it ever since. We've produced together 6 television series, 1 hour dramas, and a number of TV movies, and a lot. We have an internet company that we produce a lot of digital material for, an internet company, as both we did it for Ghost Whisper, as well as we've done it on for other shows also that are not our shows. And we produced material for DVDs, including the Ghost Whisper DVDs.
Yes. You know, and looking back at your credits, I have to tell you that I was kind of pleased to talk to you when I found out that you guys were involved in one of my favorite, albeit very short-lived, shows, and that was Brimstone.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Absolutely,
it was a fun show.
Absolutely loved that show. Didn't think that Fox at the time gave it quite the attention and chance that it needed.
I think you're right.
But that was
we loved it,
show.
Too. It was a great premise, wasn't it?
It was a great premise, and the two guys were great. I mean, with Horton and John.
John Glover.
Oh, John Glover was absolutely, you know, then
he's
showing
fantastic.
Up in Smallville.
You know, both, yeah. Peter's a terrific guy and a wonderful actor, and John Glover is just so special.
Well, that must have been a shame when that died. Did you guys see the writing on the wall earlier?
Yeah, it was, I guess so. It was a show that, I don't know, I mean, I think that they probably saw it as dark. And it was during a period, I don't know, that everybody was looking for something to be quite that dark, I guess. We thought it was fun, actually, and there was a good deal of tongue-in-cheek in it. Man. But and it was certainly, as I said, a great premise. In fact, to tell you the truth, when we went away for Christmas, the show was originally getting picked up for a back nine, and then they changed their mind.
And now Reaper came along, and boy, wasn't there a lot of similarity there?
I would say that, go figure, yes, I would say exactly. Reaper was a lighter version of that show.
Yes.
That's why I say, when I say like that show didn't catch on, because I think that people at that time felt it was dark, I think that Reaper was certainly a lighter, more comedic version. I thought Reaper was terrific. Yeah. Also didn't last very long, although a little longer than we did.
Yeah.
This was on the CW.
Right.
And yes, it was very much the same, very, very similar premise.
Yeah. And now we get into something that was a great success for you guys, and that's Ghost Whisper.
Ghost Whisper.
How did this show come to your attention?
Well, to tell you the truth, when Kim Moses and myself and John Gray have known each other for quite some time. I, in fact, produced a very early television movie that he directed called When He's Not a Stranger many years ago, and we remain very good friends since. He went on to do mostly features and television movies, and had never done series, where Kim and I had done quite a few series. And I think if you go back 6 years ago when we first started this journey, the TV movie business, certainly for network television, was kind of going away. And we had talked to John about coming up with a television series that we wanted to do. We started developing something that was not Ghost Whisperer, by the way. That was something else that did have a paranormal bent to it.
Yeah.
A kind of a ghost, I would say. It was kind of a Beetlejuice kind of a show.
Uh-huh.
And while we were doing that, when we were in the very early stages of coming up with that, we got a call from an executive at CBS, who John knew, and we knew. We had independently. John had directed, I think, wrote and directed Helter Skelter at CBS, which was a successful movie for them, or miniseries for them, and we had produced some television series for the people at CBS at that time. Anyway, he got a call saying, from an executive who had known James Van Praagh, and Van Praagh, who was a world-renowned psychic, medium, introduced this executive to someone who was a Ghostbuster, a real-life Ghostbuster. Her name is Mary Ann Winkowski, and she lives in Cleveland. And basically, the executive said to John, "I met this woman who basically, you know, cleared my house of ghosts." And I'm telling you, this is a woman who's not in the series business. She was in movies, you know, movies of the week.
Right.
He said, "Do you think there's a series in this? And would you be interested?" To which John said to her, "To tell you the truth, I don't know, because I've never done a series, but I'm working with Kim and Ian." And she said, "Oh, well, that would be, maybe you think they would be interested?" He said, "Well, let me run it by them. Just the idea of doing a show about this woman who helps people with unfinished business." So he came to us with that thought, and we said, "I love this idea." So we then met with Winkowski and met with Van Praagh, and then Kim and I and he and James, I believe, actually did come to the pitch. We came up with a story. We have a deal at ABC Studios, where Kim and I actually still have a home. So we were doing it with that studio. We went to the studio and pitched them the idea. They loved it. We then went to CBS with it, since the germ of that idea or the seed of that idea had come there. So we went and pitched it there and sold it.
Wow.
And then we made the pilot, and the pilot went really well. And then afterwards, when they said, "Okay, we were ordering 12 more," John looked and said, "12 more?" Cut to 107 shows later, Ghost Whisperer was a success.
Well, now,
that is the genesis of the show.
Yeah. And a big part of the success also is you lucked out with your star, with Jennifer Love Hewitt, and she not only came on to star in the show, but directing and executive producing duties. She pretty much became a pretty much focus of the show, didn't she?
I would say absolutely. I mean, she was not attached to the show until the show was ordered. When the show was ordered, there was ordered what's known as a cast contingent order.
Right.
And meaning that they were ordering the show, but they didn't have to go forward with it unless they approved someone for the female lead. And when you have all shows are cast contingent, to be quite frank.
Sure.
When you have a show, and if they're not happy with the cast, your show's not going anywhere. And in television, like movies, I think cast is so, gosh knows that script and cast are so very, very important. And in television series, it may even be magnified. So, and particularly a single lead show, where it's not the ensemble around her was important, and we were very fortunate having those people. Obviously, it's a single lead show.
Right.
So she was not available at that time.
No.
Jennifer Love Hewitt wasn't available. But we knew her because at ABC, she had made a pilot at ABC a few months earlier, and she had an office right next to us. So over the previous 6 months, we'd gotten to know her and talked about developing something together, you know, if she became available and if the timing was right, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Cut to, she was not available, and so we started putting together a list of actors who could play it, and then the pilot that she had done at ABC turned out it didn't go, and the day we found out it wasn't going, we showed up on her doorstep with that script, and she loved it. And then she met with Les Moonves, who was the head of CBS, and he loved her, and she loved him. Cut to, she was offered the show, and we made a deal, and we were very, very fortunate. I do believe that what you say about her being a triple threat, she's one of the few, I don't know if there's any others at the moment, and where she is an executive, you know, she has been an executive producer, a director, and a star of a television series, a drama.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know how far back you have to go, but you probably have to go to Michael Landon.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know when that was. I mean, she started out as a producer, and then eventually she was promoted to executive producer, but certainly the show did go around her.
Well, and you know, it seems to me that sometimes when you have a lead, they get that name almost honorary and don't do much. But it seems like in this series, she did a lot with that role. This was not an honorary role, obviously.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, she's a very bright and a pleasure to work with. And trust me, when you've been in the business as long, if you've been in this business any amount of time, I won't even say that long, if you've been in the business any amount of time, you do come to know the difference between people that are difficult to work with and people that are easy to work with and people that are a pleasure to work with. And I'm telling you, working with her made 5 years just fly by. And I speak for myself, the crew, the cast. She was just great and bright. Like I said, she's almost a sponge. I mean, when the time, I guess she directed, the first time she directed was probably season four. I think it was season four. And she had wanted to direct, so we said, let's do it. So we, obviously there are difficulties when you're doing that in that you have to make sure it takes a certain amount of preparation to direct. Being a single lead in the show, she's in so much of the show, right. We had to find a way to write an episode where she could have some days to be able to prep.
Right.
And so we did design it that way, and she was able to do it and did a wonderful job. And so then the following year, I guess season five, we had to do the premiere of the season, and then she also did the 100th episode.
Yeah.
She did the 100th episode, so she was great.
Yeah, and that's a heck of a milestone, that 100 episodes.
Yeah, that was cool. That was, it was indeed.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. When you started this thing 5, 6 years ago, and the idea of the story was taking shape, did you plan some of this mythology arcs that would occur over the 5 years, all the different things it threw in there, or did you pretty much take it as it came?
I think that what happens is at the beginning of the seasons, some of it, yes. I mean, but one of the things that you learn a lot. I mean, one of the things that we do when we're producing a show is we do a lot online. Mm-hmm. And in doing a lot online, you get the internet is a dialogue.
Yeah.
So we not only do a lot online, but we listen a lot to whether it's message boards or blogs or whatever. We listen to what's going on online, and you get a lot of the chatter. Now, obviously, you're not changing the creativity of the show based on what you may hear or not hear any more than if you were a politician, you're going to do everything you can with a poll based on polls. But the reality is if you hear things over again and long enough, we are in a commercial, you know, this is a commercial venture.
Yeah, you're out to make money.
You're looking to have success,
yeah.
And you're looking to give. Look, it's for an audience. It's even as much as making money, which I certainly don't want to discount. The fact is that you're also having a show that you're trying to deliver to an audience to entertain them.
Right.
So you want to hear what they're liking and what they're not liking. So we did spend time. We spent time listening to that. So that certainly did have an effect on what we did. In terms of some of the mythology really does come about at the beginning of the seasons. You sit down with the writers, and it was John Gray, and then we had another person came in by the name of P.K. Simmons, who was also an executive producer on the show the last few years, and come up with, and some of the other writers, and you come up with, where do we want to take the show this season?
Right.
And so you put together a Bible, and you put together the character arc, so where you want the characters to go. And that's when you really start thinking about what is the mythology. I mean, if you recall, the fourth season, where Jim was killed.
At the end of the season, right. You took him away.
Yeah, so Jim is killed, and then we bring him back.
But not really. At first, he's
exactly.
In a different body, and it's pretty odd.
Right. So we did that. That was something that was planned early on in that year.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much early in the year when you're coming up with what you're going to do for the season is when you come up with what the mythology is. Unlike, for example, there are some shows, obviously, that are novelistic over the course of their whole show, Lost, for example.
Right.
This show, while it does have an underlying mythology, they're clearly closed-ended shows.
Right.
There's the, you know, the case of the week, if you will.
Yes.
I mean, the unfinished business that she's going to be with the person that the ghost.
But then there was
She's
this
going
good
to
versus evil thing that was going on throughout all the seasons.
Right. And then there was, you know, because you always want to give it some edge, because we look, as much as successful as Touched by an Angel was, and, you know, it was a very good show for what it was, but we weren't looking to do Touched by a Ghost Whisperer. So and I don't say that in any derogatory means, I just mean it was, you know, it was just a different kind of show. So we were looking to do a show that one week could be a thriller, and another week could be funny.
Yeah.
I mean, we would do one week that it was, you know, we did a show, I guess, that took place on the Queen Mary, and it was kind of like Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
And then another week we did another one that I directed called Horror Show, that was kind of homage to some of the best horror films you've ever seen. Then you do others that, you know, the good news about Ghost Whisperer was, although there is a certain expectation that the audience has, i.e. hopefully by the end of the show you'll cry most of the time, in a cathartic way, the ride there would be different each week. And that was the fun of making the show, and I think that was the fun for the audience watching the show.
Now, what about in the final season, this sudden 5-year jump you do? And I guess a lot of that is for the kid to be able to be a
yeah. I mean, it really did a couple of things. One was the kid. The idea of we wanted them to have a child, and we wanted for her to give birth.
Right.
And the idea of doing a television series where you're dealing with an infant week in and week out,
yeah,
didn't present a whole lot of stories you could do.
Right.
As much as I'm not even talking about the production difficulties.
Yeah.
Which could be numerous. In addition to, more important than that, is you couldn't do stories.
Right.
And this, so we came up with the idea of jumping the 5 years strictly for that reason.
Right.
Now, in so doing that, it also enabled us that once, as we said, in year four, Jim died and came back in another body. Well, he also came back, we felt, you know what, we could make him, in 5 years later, he could be a doctor.
Yes.
So we were able to, and do stories around that. We were also able to take Ned, who was played by Christoph Sanders. We were able to put him in college where Jamie Kennedy was teaching.
Right.
Ned is the son of Cameron Manheim.
Yeah.
So we had David Cameron. So it also gave the actors, the other thing that happens is actors working year in and year out also want their character. These are some really talented people with, yeah, you know, great stage backgrounds and film backgrounds. They want to be able to stretch too. So by doing that, we were able to do stories that enabled them to stretch beyond where they had been the year before.
Now,
that was the other reason.
Yeah. When you started this final season, did you know it was going to be the end? Did you know you were coming
up
to the
end? I didn't know it was going to be the end until the day it wasn't picked up.
Oh, wow.
In fact, the day before, I was sure we were on.
So that kind of explains why, you know, I just finally got the chance to watch the series, and I noticed the end, there's quite a bit of resolution, but it doesn't have that kind of series finale.
No, we actually didn't know. I mean, look, as I said, this isn't a show that needs to have that kind of ending,
right.
i.e., like a Lost, that sort of thing. But we didn't. When we went off the air at the end of season 5, we didn't know it would be the final season.
Uh-huh.
So that was somewhat of a surprise. Now, the truth be known,
yeah,
life is a surprise.
Sure.
We don't know when life is going to end. And as I say, unlike some novelistic type shows, this was a show that it is week in and week out. There were cases. So all these shows stood on their own. And while there is an underlying mythology that went on, that certainly we would have picked up and gone on with it.
Yeah.
Just like your life is that way.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, we will both live a long time, but we don't know. And so there are surprises, and that's part of the joy of it. And I have we have no regrets. If someone would have said to us when we started the show, your show's going to run 5 years, I would have said, sign me up.
Yeah, exactly.
But so I have no regrets about it. But, sometimes it would be nice to have to know where it's going to end, like as they did on Lost or like they have on some other shows or Seinfeld.
Well, now, here's the thing. You compare it to life, of course, not. But one of the advantages you have in your industry that you don't have in life is that even after the end, there's always the possibility, and I don't know, have you explored the possibility of someday returning this either in movie form or telemovie form or miniseries form?
We've talked about it. I mean, the truth is there really is no movie of the week business in network television.
But there are reunion shows. There are sometimes extensions of shows.
Yes, and it's something that we've discussed, and it could be fun. I will tell you that the cast loved each other, the crew so much of the crew were from the beginning. There are very few people that weren't on the show at least 3 years,
right,
which is highly unusual. And some of that is a tribute to, it was just such a joy to make.
Yeah, and you had great effects and such, but wouldn't it be cool to do this with even a bigger budget?
You mean like 3D?
Well, no, I don't necessarily mean, but I just mean a
bigger
budget.
Yeah, sure. Yes, absolutely. I mean, we were lucky. We were able to make, we were fortunate to be able to make some dollars stretch much further than other people might have, but it'd be great. It'd be great. And look, it's not just the money that gets. So technology has changed. We were able to do things on Ghost Whisperer from a visual effects point of view that 7 years ago you couldn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, forget about obviously the money or the time that it would take to do it. You got to keep in mind, we shoot these shows. You prep them for 8 days. You shoot them in 8 days.
Now, have you ever had a problem with the fact that at the time Ghost Whisperer hit, there was also another similar show with the Patricia Arquette's series?
I mean, we didn't know about that show when we developed
obviously.
Ghost Whisperer. We knew nothing about it. We found out about it, actually, I think while we were making the pilot that premiered.
Yeah.
On NBC, and we hadn't known anything about it. We were actually shooting the pilot by then, or prepping to shoot the pilot by then.
Yeah.
I think that that's a very good show, and it's very different than our show in that that show is much more of a procedural.
Yes.
She solves crimes.
Right.
She's a wonderful actress, and it's a very good show, and it's still running. But she solves crimes, so it was different than Ghost Whisperer. We felt that Ghost Whisperer was a very different kind of show on television. There was nothing like it on TV. I think that medium is different than that, and that it really is. She solves crimes with a special talent, like the mentalist solves crimes with a special talent,
right.
Like Tony Shalhoub solves crimes with a special talent. So I think that that's what she does. Our show, I think, was very different than that, in that it was a little bit less formulaic.
Well, and yours,
in that regard,
yours delved a lot more into the whole good versus yeah. evil and the more spiritual aspect
exactly. I think that's certainly true, and how that affected our lead and how that affected their family, all of that was a big part of what made that show work.
Well, and that's mainly what I brought up to talk about is you know, there must have been some effect of it. There must have been some, I don't know, some issue dealing with having another show that people at least perceived to be the same shows. But if you actually watch them, you're right. They're not the same at all.
The only effect, I will tell you, it did have one effect when we first started.
Yeah.
When we first started, as I said, we were prepping to make the pilot.
Right.
And when we heard about the show, like all of a sudden I drove past NBC and I saw a giant billboard. And I went, what is that? We made a conscious effort to make sure she's not solving crimes.
Which was a good idea.
Right. I mean, that was what. So I would say it did have that effect. Like,
yeah.
It's certainly possible that if Medium had not been there, we would have occasionally had her solving crimes.
Right.
We made sure we stayed away from that because that was not our territory.
Yeah, and with her husband being a paramedic, there was certainly an avenue to do with that.
That's right.
To get involved in the crime.
That's right. So I would say that it did have that effect, is that we made a conscious effort right from the get not to be solving crimes, to make sure it's now, not that we were ever, it was always going to be unfinished business.
Right.
I mean, the premise was always what the premise ultimately ended up being, but once that show was there, we weren't. But because our shows would be different each week.
Right.
There was certainly the possibility that occasionally we would have had her solve a crime.
Right.
We didn't do that.
Well, and that is...
Stayed away from that.
That's a huge impact, probably.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So I have to, you know, I can't let you go without asking you this question. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do.
You do? Have you experienced anything doing this show that's made you...
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of things. First of all, I do think that the show does a number of things. One, I think that what was really good about the show is that the show was really did give people hope,
yeah,
to a large extent, and I think that was a good thing. And it didn't matter if you did believe or didn't believe whether you would enjoy the show any
right.
more than if you did or didn't believe in ghosts, whether you'd enjoy Sixth Sense or Ghost.
Absolutely.
That was important to us, that you didn't have to be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, we once, before we started the show, we had a session at our house with James Van Prague and a number of the executives
mm-hmm.
from the show that we wanted them to have a session with him.
Yeah.
Because we weren't doing a cop show or a lawyer show or a doctor show. We were doing a show about ghosts, and we wanted to be sure that we were giving the audience, but in this case it was the executives who at the time were the audience, a lens with which to look at the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a session at my house. And during that session, at one point, he looked at me and he said, "Your mother's passed away." I said, "That's true." Many ways he could have known that.
Right.
And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well," he looked away as though he was looking at someone or listening to someone, looked back at me and he says, "Your mother wants you to buy your sister a pair of shoes and say that she's sorry. Your mother wants to say she's sorry." I said, "Huh, okay." So we went out. So Kim and I went out and bought my sister a pair of shoes, size 8, I think, and wrote a little note from Mom. She's sorry. And gift and gave it to her. Mm-hmm. When she opened it up, she started to cry. I said, what are you crying about? And she said, when Mom and I would get into a fight when I was a kid and we would make up, she would take me to buy shoes.
Wow.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah, you wouldn't have any.
I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So he certainly didn't know that. And I was like, wow. Wow. So we've had those kinds of experiences, and there's others. I mean, we've had a few of those. And I choose to believe it. I had a conversation the other day with someone that, is it delusion? Are you picking? I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
But I choose to believe.
Sure.
And if it's delusional, that's okay. If people are watching, I mean, a woman came up to Jennifer LaVue while I was there one time. We were in Las Vegas together, and a woman was sitting behind me, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, that's Jennifer LaVue. And I said, yes. She said, can I talk to her? And she said, I said, sure. And she looked, and Love said, it's okay with me. And the woman said to her, I just want to thank you that on Friday nights, I am a cancer survivor. And on Friday nights, a group of us get together and watch your show. And you give us hope.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. I mean, we're making a television show.
Oh, yeah.
And what a great thing to be able to give people. So it did that. And at the same time, it was good drama. And
sure.
it was entertaining. And it was all of those things. So yeah. It's really a show that, you know, obviously we're proud of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, look, the other thing that happens is Kim was just saying to me earlier, this is a show that keeps on giving. I mean, this is a show that, in addition to this, as I said, we produced a lot of the online and digital material for the show. We have a thing that Kim and I have created called the Total Engagement Experience.
Yes.
And one of the things that you have on these DVDs that you don't have on other DVDs, or very few, obviously DVDs have bonus features.
Yeah.
That's part of what separates them from other shows.
Right.
Because everybody's got a show. Most of these bonus features are things like a behind the scenes, bloopers, commentary, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We created things that are all on there that are interactive with your remote control. I think I'm pretty sure it might have been the first interactive DVD for a show that where you go on the show and you could actually play a game on with the DVD.
Yes.
And that was something that was brand new. So even we were able to make use of the technology with Ghost Whisperer that was also so cool. And it's on the DVDs. That's something that's, you know, it really, we were able to expand artistically, if you will. So obviously we now have a brand. I mean, Kim and I now have a show that we're developing that's called, for another show that has a ghost part of it, a very different show called Ghost World. We have a reality show with another psychic by the name of Maureen Hancock called Ghost Town. That's a reality show that we intend to set up at ABC Syndicate, ABC for cable, rather not ABC Network, but ABC Media Productions.
Yeah, and that was going to be my last question. Tell us what you guys are going to be up to now that Ghost Whisperer is behind.
Yeah, well, we have a deal. We have an overall development deal at ABC Studios that we're very fortunate and grateful for. And so we're developing some new shows. We have, I guess we've sold four shows.
Mm-hmm.
That we're in development on.
Okay.
Three at ABC Network, one at CBS that we're currently in development on. One is a ghost show. It's called Ghost World that Dana Stevens, who wrote City of Angels, is writing.
All right.
We have another show at ABC called Inhuman, being written by Michael Cooney, who wrote Identity, and it's going to be directed by Mark Pellington, who directed Mothman Prophecies and Arlington Road and the pilot for Cold Case. What else do we have? We have another show here called Afterwives that's being written by Jennifer Weiner, who's a best-selling author, and Michael McLennan, who's a television writer. Jennifer Weiner has a couple of books, I think, on the bestseller list as we speak, Best Friends Forever and what was the other one? Fly Away Home. She's a wonderful writer. And we have a show at CBS. It's an ABC studio show at CBS. Called Chicago Fire that Lewis Kolick is writing. He wrote October Sky and Ladder 49, Ghosts of Mississippi. So we're moving all these things forward. We do have a reality show with a woman, Maureen Hancock, that's called Ghost Town, which is a reality show that was set up at ABC Media Productions that we're just taking out for cable distribution.
Well, it sounds like you guys have a full plate.
And we have a full plate, and we're busy, and, you know, we move forward. We're having a good time, and we're grateful for Ghost Whisperer. It was a great experience for us.
And hopefully down the road we'll be talking about your 100 episodes in 5 years in one of these other shows.
That would be great. That would be great. Don't hesitate if you want to talk again. Don't hesitate to call, or our offices are at Disney. If you come here, come west. Don't hesitate to give us a call. Love to host you.
Well, yeah, we'd love to do a set visit on your next show.
That would be great.
Well, listen, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for your time. Please send our best to your wife as well.
I will.
And tell people the final season of Ghost Whisperer is now out on DVD, and it's absolutely something they should pick up.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You take care and have yourself a great day.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.